Anybody ever been on a plane? I could stand here and tell you stories, plane stories, for hours, but I'm not going to do that. You have a captive audience, you know. This flight I was on 2 weeks ago, we got struck by lightning. I had a great opportunity to witness it, a whole plane. But anyway, I want you to, including the two Rice professors that were sitting next to me, but I want you, psychology professors, they freaked out. But anyway, I was on a plane going to Malawi, had about 21 college students with me. And on the section of the plane where we were seated, I was towards the front, and the students were back towards the last two or three rows. And too far for me to talk to, but of course where there's students, there's noise. Isn't that true? And I'll never forget, during the flight, something got my attention. And I don't know if the gentleman, if he was from Ireland or Scotland. He had one of those really neat accents. Very loud, very charming, great personality. And he happened to be talking to the students. He's standing back in the aisle speaking with the students. Too far for me to hear the students, but this guy was so loud, I could actually hear and understand him. And he had just one of those charming personalities, and he was getting away with being extremely loud. And it was apparent that during the flight, during the conversation, one or some of the students actually started to witness to him about Jesus Christ. How many here know Jesus? Okay. I mean, because we're going on a mission trip, right? So they're practicing on the plane. Now, I couldn't hear what they were saying. I could only hear his response. And it was interesting just listening to half the conversation. And after a while, he actually started to dominate the conversation. And he was not a believer in the Lord Jesus, at least not yet. And I got a little restless sitting in my seat. And I got up out of my seat. I walked down the aisle of the plane. He's standing in the aisle. And I said, excuse me, sir, my name is Salim. The students knew what was about to take place. And I proceeded to explain to him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to say we got into an argument, but we both got pretty loud. And kind of like most of you guys, it looked like a lot of people on that plane were watching us. So I clearly explained the cross and why Jesus had to come. I figured if he wasn't going to get it, the rest of the plane was right there. And apparently we got so loud, I never saw it coming. As I'm speaking with him, the stewardess came down the aisle of the plane. She must have tried to get my attention, because I didn't hear her, but she finally catches me in my side. And I turn, and she's standing this close to me, and she says, excuse me, sirs, gentlemen, could you keep it down? The whole plane can hear you. And I was thinking, that's great. I didn't say it, but I was thinking that. Now, when she said that, I want you to see something. She's this close to me, and all you can hear now are the roars of the engines, because everyone on that section of the plane is watching this encounter. She's this close to me, and all of a sudden, something started to come up out of me. I didn't know what it was. And I responded, at the top of my voice. And I just said, I just want everyone to go to heaven. Is there anything wrong with that? And she goes, no, that's fine, sir. And then she said, do they have to go right now? You know, now if I ask how many of you all want to go to heaven, I believe we'd all raise hands. Now, if I ask how many want to go right now, okay, we'd have some super spiritual hands go up. I know. But is it okay to be honest here? Is that legal? I'd be in church singing, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But I'd go, but not right now, Jesus. And I'm ready. And I thought, Lord, what's that hesitation? Why don't I want Jesus to come back this moment? Well, number one, there's people that I know and that I love that are not ready. And number two, and listen, every one of you will qualify here. Do you know why there's that little hesitation about going to heaven this moment, even if you're ready? I want you to hear this. It's because God is not done with you. Listen, when God created you, he created you for a divine purpose, a divine destiny, a divine calling. I like how Paul says it in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Listen to this. He said, in order that I might finish my course. Say my course. Okay, and we'll come back to that, but I want you to see something. He knew God had a plan and a course for his life, because towards the end of his life, And 2 Timothy, you know what he said? I finished my course. So look, he knew when God was working, and he knew when God was done. The Living Bible in Psalm 139 says it like this. Before I ever began to breathe, God scheduled every single day of my life. So I say it like this. If you are still breathing, God ain't done with you. Amen? So if you're still breathing, would you just wave to me? Okay, look at your neighbor and say, God ain't done with me. Now with a smile, look at them and say, thank God he ain't done with you. Now that's good news. Amen? Now, I want you to see something. Listen to what he says. In order that I may finish my course with joy in the ministry, say ministry. How many of you are ministers? All of you are ministers. Listen to it. In the ministry to testify of the gospel of God's grace. The Living Translation says it like this. That I might finish the, listen, watch this. Finish the assignment or the race given me by the Lord Jesus. Look at this. To tell the world of God's wonderful kindness and love. Do you know why you and I are still breathing? Because God has chosen you and me to make a difference in people's lives for the kingdom of God and for eternity. Amen? And, you know, I wasn't going to do this, but, man, would you mind standing right here, please? All right. Just stand here right in front of the camera. Say, big smile. What's your name?
Jill.
Say hi, Jill.
Hi.
Give her a big hand. All right. Now, I want you to see something, because I thought about, and this wasn't in my notes, so we're going to go with the flow here. Is that good? Now watch. Finish my course, my race, my destiny, my call. And the decisions that you all have made for this summer are awesome. Do you know how many young people and teenagers are wasting their summer? And you're making a difference for God, eternity, souls, and the kingdom of God? Let me tell you something. What I see in my spirit is that you are obtaining a crown. Say crown. And because you see in Revelation 4, there are some, the ones that are closest to the throne have a crown. And who knows what they do with their crown? Does anybody know? You ever hear of casting crowns? Around the throne, the creatures are flying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Listen, these elders take their crowns and they lay them at the throne of God. I really believe the feet of Jesus. And how many of you want a crown to lay at his feet? Let me share something with you. Did you know not everyone that goes to heaven will have a crown? Because listen to what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, I believe. Listen to what he said. He said, hold on to what you have tightly. See to it that no one steals your crown. You got it? No, you didn't. I just stole it. Let's try it again. Hold on to what you have tightly. See to it that no one steals your crown. You got it? Okay, now watch. Okay, hold it. Do you know why Jesus said don't let anyone steal your crown? It's possible for your crown to be stolen. Now, your crown is not salvation. Do you know what your crown is? Watch. Your crown, watch this, is God's plan and destiny for your life while you're on the earth. Did you hear what I said? And some people will not have a crown. But I want to ask this question. I would say, how do you hold on to your crown? And I'm not going to teach on that. If you look in Revelation 3, you can say these out loud, and you want to make your own sermon, but say this. Say, the Word of God, the name of Jesus, never give up. That's what he says. He says, because you've kept my word, you've not denied my name, and you obeyed my command to persevere. In other words, never give up. That's something you can do with all of your life. So look at your neighbor right now and say, never give up. If you want to finish your race, you want a crown, you got to never give up. But I want to show you something. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I believe it's the number one way that people lose their crown. And you know what I believe it is? Well, let me ask you this. Who was the first king of Israel? Say King Saul. After him, there was a king, a shepherd boy that killed Goliath. What was his name? Okay. Did Saul lose his crown? And it went to who? David. Okay. Let me ask you this. Did Saul ever sin? Yes. Okay. Did David ever sin? How many of us can name David's sin a whole lot better than we can name Saul's sin? Okay, now watch.
So my question is, why would God take the crown from one sinner and give it to another sinner? I'm going to say it like this. Sin is not, I would say sin's not the problem. It is the problem, but it's not the problem. It's the problem for everyone, but we've all sinned, right? So why will some sinners keep their crown and some lose their crown? Watch this. Saul has his crown. God gives him commands, but he didn't follow through. He disobeyed. Now watch. David disobeyed too, but watch what happened. When Saul's sin was exposed, you know what he did? He made excuses. Say excuses. He did not take responsibility for his sin. He would say stuff like, well, the enemy was coming. My men were leaving. You didn't come when you said, well, we sacrificed. We just saved the best for the Lord. He always made excuses. He didn't take responsibility for his actions. He pointed the finger. He blamed other people. He justified what he was doing. Has anyone ever used an excuse? Now watch. Watch the difference. When David's sin was exposed, what did he say? I'm the man. I'm guilty. I need help creating me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit. Do you see the difference? Listen, he took, and I want to just ask you, what are some excuses that we use either to not commit to the Lord, to not follow through and obey the word of God, or not even, thank God you're not this group, but how many people God probably called to go on missions this summer, but they came up with excuses? Anybody know anyone like that? Okay. What are some excuses? I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I'm broke. I don't have enough money. I'm busy. Work. Help. Check. Listen to some of these. See if you can identify to any of these excuses for areas of your life. Well, everybody's doing it. It's my body. I'm not hurting anyone. I've already gone too far. You don't know how my father wasn't there. My mom said this. My ex, my girl, that church, that pastor. Can anybody relate to excuses? You don't know how I was hurt. I was rejected. I was abandoned. I was abused. Listen, God knows all about you. None of that surprises God. But so often we hang on to those excuses, and what we do, we are actually taking our crown, and God will find another who has a heart for him. How many of you would love to have no more excuses in your life? Okay, we'll give her a hand as she goes back to her seat. Listen, God has a crown, a destiny, a purpose, a call for your life. And I want you to see something. I'm going to give you my own nutshell version of Psalm 139. I want you to identify yourself whether you qualify to fulfill the plan, the destiny that God has for your life. Psalm 139, I'll say it like this. Nothing about you surprises God, and you are not here by accident. Amen? Maybe you thought a parent was sending you here. Or let me tell you, God ordained for you to be here this week, this summer for what you're doing. So nothing about you surprises God. You're not here by accident. And check this out. God has always been in your life. Through the good, the bad, and the ugly, God knows all about you and still has his divine purpose for your life. Is that good news? He says before you began to breathe, he scheduled, he knew you. He knows all about you. So I started thinking, because, you know, I was raised Muslim. I'm going to get to my story. And I thought, does God really know me? Did God knew where I would be born? Did God know how I would be born? Did he know the religion I would have? Did he know how my parents would be? Because even as a Muslim, I thought, why am I so lucky to be a Muslim? And now I look and I thought, how come I wasn't raised in a Christian home? And so I'm looking at this, and I've heard that God is good. Anybody here, God is good? Okay, you believe God is good. Let me ask you this. Has any of you ever heard that God has a good plan for your life? Do you really believe that? So I was looking through the Word of God. Here's some people, look, that God chose to use for his purposes. Do you qualify? Samuel, dedicated, faithful, loyal. How many of you have been completely dedicated, faithful, loyal, and never disobeyed God? Uh-oh, are we in trouble? Thank God we don't stop with Samuel, amen? How about Jonah?
Jonah, rebellious, disobedient, and running from God. Can anyone relate? But how many of you know God used him as a mighty missionary? Because you can't outrun God, can you? Now watch. Look at the people that he qualified. Gideon, afraid, hiding, had low self-esteem and lack of confidence. Can anyone relate? But God chose him, didn't he? Listen, do you qualify? Moses was old, had already blown it, and felt unqualified. Jeremiah thought he was too young. Thank God y'all don't think you're too young, do you? How about this? Esther, Ruth, Naomi, widowed, orphaned, single parent. God knows about your broken home. God knows about the divorce. And let me tell you something. God has still chosen you to make a difference in this world. Amen? Look at the people that he chose. David was a shepherd. God saw him as a king. After being marked and crowned as king, committed adultery and murder. And I know men and even women of God that have made decisions to follow the Lord. And after their decision, with God's blessing, have fallen into sin. Isn't that true? But you know what it says in the Word of God? David served his generation. He finished his course. When you blow it, you repent and get back up. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, get back up. Let me do a few others. Rahab, prostitution, shame. But God used her to save his own people. And I want to tell you something. God knows where you've blown it. He knows if you've been promiscuous sexually. He knows if you've had an abortion. He knows all about you. And he has still called you and chosen you. We're going to get intense on some of these. Naaman, if you remember, this, he was a Syrian like captain, almost a general. He was a warrior and had tremendous victories. But there was something wrong with him. He had leprosy. Say that word, leprosy. And so he always had to cover it up. And I wonder what we cover in our lives. The eating disorders. The struggle with, I'm not pretty enough. I'm too fat. You know, I want you to know something. God knows you. He knows all about you, and he has still chosen you and called you by name. Look how awesome this God is. Elijah was a mighty prophet used incredibly by God. And the next day, watch what he's doing. He's afraid, running for his life. Look at this. A man of God goes into depression and check this out. Wants to die. God knows about your thoughts of suicide. God knows about your loneliness. God knows about your bouts, your struggles, your sins. God knows all about you, but yet he has still called you and chosen you for such a time as this. He wastes absolutely nothing in your life. And I know this isn't that fired up message that we're going to get here, but let's be real, okay? Because so often I see people and they step out onto the field and they're doing great, but there's a pulling, there's a withholding. I thought, God, what is it? Why aren't they free? And it's because they're hiding stuff. They're hiding their addictions and their struggles, their pornography and their lust. And it's inside, and the enemy uses it to hold them back. And let me tell you something, there's freedom in Christ. There's mercy, there's forgiveness, there's deliverance in Jesus and Jesus alone. And if you're willing to confess him, let me tell you, I believe many of you will be set free even this day before you go and set others free. Peter, fishing, just trying to make a living. Joseph, abused, rejected, abandoned. His own family hated him. His brothers wanted to kill him, throw him into a pit, prison, lied about, falsely accused, didn't deserve any of it, and finds himself in a prison cell. But how many of you know God still had an amazing plan for his life? And you know, these words came up to me on the plane. Say these words. Say, repent. Forgive, honesty, never give up. Now watch, where you are in your life. If you choose to repent, I may have named some of them right there. Watch, you repent, you forgive. Say forgive. That's a big one because a lot of us have been hurt and done wrong. Isn't that true? And listen, we're going to need to forgive and let them go. We need to be honest about our own lives and where we are.
finding a brother, a mentor, a sister to confess, hey, I'm having this issue, this struggle. So watch, repent, forgive, honesty. And I love this one. Say, never give up. Say it again, never give up. Because here's what I discovered. In this race, this course, this plan that God has for you, watch this. Everyone falls. The only difference between those who finish and those who do not, watch this, are the ones who get up every time they fall. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the love you have bestowed upon us. You'd actually call us your own children. Lord, that's amazing love to me. Lord, I know I served you as Almighty God, as Allah, but I never knew you as Father, could never have a relationship with you. And Lord, I thank you for that high school girl that just gave me a simple invitation. Lord, not only changed my life, but my whole family's life. And Lord, literally thousands of lives because a high school girl really knew you. And Father, I thank you for this church this morning. And Lord, just if there's someone here that just wants to seal and make sure that they've received this gift of salvation, this gift of eternal life, just pray in your heart right where you're seated. Say, okay, dear God, I know you created me. You created me for a love relationship with you. But my sin has separated us, and I am dead to you. But God, you love me so much. You sent your own son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who died on the cross, and he took away he paid for all of my sin. God, I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, I repent. I repent of all my sin, and I make you the Lord of my life. I now receive you, Jesus, into my life. Jesus, I receive your gift of salvation, your gift of eternal life, and your gift of righteousness. Lord, according to your word, I am now the righteousness of God. And God, you are now more than my God. You are my heavenly Father. Now, Lord Jesus, fill me with your spirit and give me your power to live for you. Lord Jesus, as the righteousness of God, by your spirit, Lord, help me to produce fruits of this righteousness wherever I go. And Father, I pray that I will allow your light and your love to shine in every corner of my life. Lord, that I will, Lord, just give me your boldness to not be ashamed of who you are in my life. Lord, to love people, to smile, to invite, to share. Lord, would you help me to remember the only thing going to heaven is people. And Lord, you have chosen me for this day and hour to let your light shine. Lord, you said in your word, I am your light and I am your salt. So Father, by your grace, help me to be your light and salt like never before. Because you love me and you love this world. Lord, seal this in our hearts. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.